Somebody shout faith. Come on, somebody shout faith. Faith in action. Faith in action. I may know God's been talking to us. Amen, amen, amen. He's going to keep talking to us a little bit, at least today he is. Amen. If you want to hear what the Spirit would have to say to the church one more time, just shout amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A couple of points that I feel led of the Holy Ghost to make today. But in order to do so, I'm really going to need your minds. I'm going to need you to engage your minds with me as we look at the Word of the Lord. The Lord has met with us wonderfully after each and every message during this faith series, and I believe that He is going to meet with us yet again before we leave this place today. I believe we're going to see some awesome things today. I believe that. If you were here on Thursday, you'll know that we looked at the story of Paul when he was shipwrecked on the island of Melita. And I would like to revisit that story again this morning. Once again, we see that Paul was being transported as a prisoner on a ship bound for Rome. Somewhere in the middle of their journey, a storm began to rage, began to buffet the ship to the point that the ship began to splinter apart, break apart, and began to sink. All those who were on board at Paul's request stayed with the ship. And as the ship began to sink, there are articles on the boat that did not sink with it, things that floated in the water. He told them to grab a hold of those things that were floating, and all of them grabbed a hold, and they began to float, and eventually the tide carried them up onto a shore on the island called Melita. So that's where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 28 and verse 1. Acts 28 and verse 1. And when they were escaped, speaking of the boat, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. So it means they showed us a lot of kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. It was cold, it was rainy, so they built a fire for him. Verse 3, now watch. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, we'll preach it sometime, but the enemy only attacks you when you start building a bigger fire. That's good right there. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. You know, he was a prisoner. He was on the ship. They kind of probably caught that. And they thought he must have murdered somebody. Whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. He must be a murderer, and God's probably trying to punish him. And he escaped the sea. The sea was supposed to kill him, but it didn't. He came here, and so now a viper is biting him. This guy's he's a bad guy. Somebody's trying to kill him. Verse 5. And yet, what did Paul do? He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked, the people that round, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. They watched him. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Somebody said amen. But now, I want us to look at this now, all right? And I know you've heard this story preached and taught many times, and you've read it, no doubt. But maybe just with fresh eyes, I want us to take a look at this story this morning. Because what I want you to notice is that the immediate result of Paul's personal miracle I mean, no, that was a miracle to shake that viper off. Nothing happened, no harm done. The immediate result of Paul's personal miracle was only that the people thought that he was some kind of a god. That's it. It's the only thing that happened in that island, in the lives of those people, in response to Peter's or Paul's personal miracle. There was no great spiritual awakening. There was no great spiritual revival on the island immediately after Paul's personal miracle. Nobody said, hey, Paul, if you just got bit by a snake and nothing happened to you, God healed you, then could God heal me as well? Because I've got a sickness. Nobody says this. And the reason why was because they thought that Paul was a god. Now get this, if he's a god, then therefore he must already have possessed something necessary for the miraculous that they didn't have. Are you with me? They thought there was something special about Paul. They thought there was something unique about Paul. They said he was a god. Here's something special about this man. There's something unique about this man. And that type of thinking caused them to look at themselves as being less than. He's a god. We're not. He's special. We're not. He's unique. We're not. He's got something going on in his life that we do not have. And therefore, that's why he received what he received, but we can never expect to receive what he received because we don't have what he has. They thought he must have had some kind of special powers that they did not possess, and therefore they could not expect to receive a miraculous touch from the Lord like he had because they didn't have what he had. You with me? So they didn't even ask for a healing. They didn't even ask to be prayed for. They had just, with their own eyes, witnessed a miracle. But it did not lead them to do anything. Because to them, Paul was somehow different. And since they weren't like him, they couldn't receive what he received. And how many know that this same type of thinking and mentality is still prevalent in our world today? For whereas there are those who are moved to faith and belief by someone else's personal testimony, and we got to keep giving our personal testimony. Because there's going to be some people who are moved to faith. And they see our personal testimony. And they say, if God can do it for you, then he can do it for me. There are some who are moved to faith and moved to belief and moved to action. Because of they witnessed in our lives the working of the miraculous. Yet there are many others that agree, stay with me, that yes, I know God did do something in your life. I know God did something marvelous in your life. I've witnessed it. I've seen the great change that has come over you as a result of your encounter with the Lord. But I don't think God can do it for me. For when seeing the miraculous hand at work on our lives, they just assume that there must be something special about us. You see where I'm headed now. They think that we must be better somehow. They think that we must be more spiritual somehow. They think that we must be more in tune with godly things somehow in order to have received this supernatural, miraculous touch from the heavens. They see that it really did happen, but they think that there must have been special circumstances surrounding our lives that they do not have surrounding their lives. You're a something better about you. You must have something I don't have. You must have an end to the heavenlies that I don't have. Therefore, they do not believe that God can do for them what they saw him do for you. And you tell them and you tell them, hey, this is my story. This is my testimony. They say, I get it. I know it. But there must have been something you have that caused God to do it. And I just don't have that. So we see that this tremendous personal miracle in the life of Paul did not release immediately any kind of great miraculous revival in this particular group of people because they did not think they could relate to Paul. He said, God, we can't relate to him. But then watch what happens next. That's what we talked about on Thursday, Acts 28 and 7. In the same quarters, the same area, the same place where they were possessions of the chief man of the island whose name was Publius. So this man Publius, he was the chief of all the people on the island. He was the head honcho. The Bible says, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So the head honcho, the chief of the island, he says, why don't you guys come and stay with me? So they came to his house and they stayed with him. Now watch verse 8. And it came to pass that the father of the chief, the father of Publius, lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. When you study out bloody flux, you'll understand it wasn't just a little light thing. It was very much a life and death situation. It was a very, he was going to die. All right? This wasn't the flu or something. He was going to die. The father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So I get the picture now. Chief of the island invites them to their house. They stay there for a few days. While Paul was there, he notices the chief's father is sick, about to die, goes into the room where the sick man was, lays his hand on him, prays, and the man was instantly healed. Now watch what the very next verse says. Acts 28, verse 9. So when this was done, when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Notice now, in that place, not one person received a miracle after Paul's encounter with the Lord because they didn't think it could happen to them. But when Paul decided to put his faith into action and heal one of their own people, you following me? It released a miraculous outpouring that caused many, many people to be healed on that island. In fact, one commentary says that the phrase when it says, which had diseases in the island came and were healed. One commentary says that that literally meant that they kept coming and were healed. Meaning there was a wave of them and they were healed and they left. And then another wave came and they were healed and they left. And then another group came and they were healed. Not just one or two or five or ten, but they kept coming. They kept coming. They kept coming. Sick and they left whole. They kept coming broken and they left healed. They kept coming diseased and they left healed by the power. They kept coming, kept coming. What a miracle happened that day. The point I'm trying to make is this. There will be those that experience God for themselves because of our personal witness and our testimony, our personal testimony that we share with them, and we must continue to do that. But there are going to be others that are only going to have the encounter with the Lord that they need. When the believers start putting your faith into action in order to go into the world of other people, and the environments of other people, and the surroundings of other people,
and allow God to use you to perform a miracle on that which is closest to them and precious to them. We got to understand this now. Nobody on that island knew Paul, but everybody knew the chief's dad. Everybody knew the chief's dad. Everybody knew, no doubt, that he was sick. Everybody knew, no doubt, that he was close to death. And there was concern. And they knew him. And they knew him before he was sick. And they had relationships with him. And they were family and friends with him. And all of these things. They didn't know Paul, but they knew the chief's dad. So when Paul allowed his faith to be put into the context of their lives, it ushered in a miraculous revival that brought about healing to almost every diseased person in that entire place. What I'm trying to say is this. There is a miraculous revival that has the potential of affecting many, many people out there. But it's only going to be released, hear me, when the people of God decide to put your faith into action and allow God to bring about a miraculous touch in the lives and in the stories and in the situations of the people that we meet outside these four walls. Paul could have just worshiped and been content to worship over the miracle that happened to him. He could have just praised God. He could have just been satisfied with praising God for his personal touch from the Lord. He could have just kind of tucked it away and said, when I get back with the rest of the church folks, I'm going to talk to the church folks about what God did for me, and we're all going to rejoice, and we're all going to shout about it. But then everyone on that island would have continued thinking that he had something that they did not have, and therefore they would have never received anything from the Lord. But Paul made up his mind that the same faith that brought about the miracle in the context of his life could bring about a miracle in the context of their life. The same God that healed him, he knew could also heal them. The same God that released a blessing into him could also release a blessing into them. And because of this, he became willing to put his faith into action in the lives of people that were around him. And it sparked a revival where the hurting and the diseased flocked, kept coming. Now ask yourselves this question. I was flying somewhere some time ago, and we took off out of Midway, and it was a clear day. We took off out of Midway. And as we began to fly over, I just looked out the window. My heart broke. House after house after house. Thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands. As far as you could see, home after home after home. The majority of which do not know God. Now think about this now. I truly believe that the only way this end time revival is going to happen is if there is a dual desire for the church to go to where the lost are and for the lost to come to where the church is. You can't just have one without the other, but they're reciprocal. There must be a dual desire, because there's no way we can go to where all of them are. But if there is a dual desire for us to go to them and for them to come to us, now you're talking. And the only way the lost are going to come, as we read in this text in our story, the only way the lost are going to come to where we are is if we'll begin to put our faith in action in the realities of the lives of people they know, in the realities of the pains, the diseases, the brokenness, the addictions of people they know. And as you begin to put your faith into action outside these four walls, and you lay hands on someone and a miracle happens, then those who are connected to them, come on somebody, will see the miracle. Come on, they've seen the church. They see churches on every corner and yet they don't go. They must have something we don't have. They must have something we don't have. So why bother going? Church folks. I can't relate to church folks, but I can relate to Uncle Johnny. I can relate to Aunt Sue. I can relate to my son or a daughter who's strung out on drugs and I've done everything I can do and I don't know how to help them. They can relate to that person. And all of a sudden, a believer steps into the context of their life, puts their faith into action, brings about a deliverance, brings about a healing, brings about a transformation to somebody that they're connected to. And all of a sudden, that person says this: I didn't really know that you church folks and I had anything in common, but now I see, because a miracle happened in a situation that I can understand. Now I want to know, what is it about you people that I can receive from as well? And then they come and then they call up Uncle Bob or they call up Aunt whatever and cousin whatever and daughter whatever and mama whatever and daddy whatever and say, hey, you guys got to come. You guys got to see this. Now it's not a church folk telling them. Now it's not a church person telling them. It's one of their own telling them, I came broken, but I left whole. I came sick, but I left healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. My friend, you want to talk about an end time revival? That's going to be an end time revival when the church is reaching out and when the world is coming in. When the word church is reaching out and the world is coming in, and it's a reciprocal thing and it will happen. I said it absolutely will happen the moment the church decides, I'm going to put my faith into action like never before. I'm not just going to worship about my personal testimony. I'm not just going to shout about my personal testimony with the rest of the believers. Nothing wrong at all with that, but I'm going to take another step as well. And I'm going to put my faith into action in the context of the people's lives outside these walls. And they will keep coming and keep coming. Waves after wave, and they're going to be healed, and they're going to be saved, and they're going to be delivered. Come on, I just want to know if somebody can see this now. They're going to be coming. Not just one, not just two, not just a handful here or a handful. They're going to keep coming. And when they get here, the power of God's going to hit them. When they get here, the anointing of God that is in this room is going to fall upon them. And they're going to receive from God whatever it is. And then they're going to go back and they're going to tell their friends and they're going to tell their family that you got to come see a man. You got to come see a man. His name is Jesus, and he healed me, and he delivered me, and he set me free. Now it's not us trying to reach him, it's them reaching their own family. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't win our worlds by the people on these pews. We can't do it. It's too many of them and not enough of us. But God's telling us, I got a plan. God's trying to show us he's got it worked out. God's telling us, hey, I got it figured out. If somebody would just be obedient to what I'm telling you to do, I got an end time revival like you can't even imagine. I've got an outpouring of my spirit that would blow your mind if you would just humble yourself and submit yourself to what I'm talking to you about and put your faith into action. Oh, somebody shout amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many believe that today? Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you something I feel like the Holy Ghost spoke to me concerning this very same subject. Again, I need your minds, but think with me. Now watch. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Word of the Lord says, and the believer, so they're having a revival, okay? Look back, they're having a revival. Church is having a revival. And it starts to describe what that revival looks like. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. So believers are coming. They're added to the church. Now watch what it says. The believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. Everybody say multitudes. Both the men and women. Insomuch that they, who's the they? The they is the multitudes. They brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them, and they would be healed. Now, here, I think with me. Notice, it lets us know that the multitudes of people were added to the Lord. And this is the only time in the New Testament where the plural form of multitude is used. The only time. Multitudes, plural. So it is inferring to us that this was more than what could be constituted as a multitude. Again, I need your minds here. It's more than just what you would describe as a multitude of people, for they use the plural form of that word, which indicates whatever constitutes a multitude, this is much bigger than that. This is the plural form of multitude. And these multitudes of people brought sick and diseased folk out to the streets in order that Peter's shadow might heal them. Obviously, it had nothing to do with his shadow. It was the anointing of God that was upon him. So, without stretching this text, I believe that it is safe to say that if multitudes of people brought them, then it must have been multitudes of people that were healed. Now, get this. Those multitudes of people who believed that Peter's shadow could heal them had to first be positioned in the right place so that his shadow could fall upon them. Right? They had to be positioned in the right place at the right time so that when Peter walked by, his shadow would fall across them. I do not think that Peter walked certain ways just so he could come in contact with these people. I believe Peter, just going about his normal everyday routine, and in the going about of his normal everyday routine, there were people who had been positioned by others to come in contact with him. Slow down, let me catch up to you. So we see that the multitudes of people were healed because they had been positioned to come in contact with Peter as he simply went about his day. You got that? Then the Bible says this. Very next verse, Acts 5:16. There came also a multitude, singular. Still big, but singular. Out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Praise God. Now, I personally believe that this verse is making reference to the people bringing those who were sick and those who were possessed to a certain pre-prescribed place at a pre-prescribed time. For it does not say anything about them being healed by Peter's shadow. This is two different things now. So these people are coming out from the villages around where they were, and they were bringing sick folk in. They must have known, they must have had knowledge concerning where they should go and when they should go to a certain place at a certain time in order to bring the sick with them, the diseased with them, the broken with them, in order for the believers to pray for them, in order for them to receive their miracle. For they would not have just brought these people into the city and then wandered aimlessly up and down the streets hoping to come in contact with a believer. But they came in from outside the city knowing, having heard, that if you go to a such and such place at a such and such time, there's going to be some believers there and they'll pray for you and there's going to receive a miracle. Somebody said amen. Something that we would have called a healing service or a healing crusade or a church service. Certain day, certain time. Bring them to this place at this time, and there's going to be some believers there that'll pray for them, and you'll receive your miracle. But here's what I need you to get. The Bible categorizes the amount of people who received their miracle that way as a multitude of people. Singular. Still a lot, but the singular form. Multitudes of people were healed because they were positioned in the right place to come in contact with a believer as the believer went about their day. Multitude of people were healed because they showed up to a church service. And when I saw this, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said these words: it is my will that the miracles you see based upon those that I position in your path as you just go about your normal day should be far greater than what you'll ever see in your church services. It's a word from the Lord. We're going to receive it, Sister Vera. The Holy Ghost spoke to us that the miracles he desires for us to witness are going to be far greater because he positions people, broken people, hurting people, messed up people. He positions them at a right place at the right time so that as we're going about our day, we come in contact with them. And when we do, we put our faith into action. And he says the miracles that you are supposed to see out there don't even come close to what you're going to see in here. Mm. We're going to keep having Bible studies. We're going to keep having church on Sundays. We're going to keep having power Sundays. We're going to keep having healing and deliverance services. But I hear the Holy Ghost telling us that what he desires to do outside these four walls is far greater than what he can do inside these four walls. And if he could simply find a people who are willing to put their faith into action and realize and understand and have revelation of the fact that God is positioning broken, hurting, messed up, diseased, sick people in our paths every day that we live. If we can just grasp that understanding, then our Sundays, hear me, our Sundays will transition from being the place and the day and the time where we hope everything happens to becoming the day when we simply celebrate and shout about all the miracles that happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I just need a couple of people to agree with that right now. Come on, I don't need everybody, but I just need a few people just to come into agreement with me right now. Ooh. Right now, our mentality is this. Come Sunday, something's going to happen. Come Sunday, somebody's going to be healed. Come Sunday, somebody can be delivered. But God's trying to transition us. He's trying to give us revelation of the power of faith in action in order to let us know the revival, the miracles, the supernatural outpouring of my spirit that I have prepared outside of these four walls is far greater. It is far greater. It is far greater than anything that could ever happen in these altars in a few hours on a Sunday. If you believe that, shout unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to believe that. You see, if we don't, here's the litmus test for whether or not we believe it. Tomorrow, do we meet the sick person and say, hey, here's a card. Come on Sunday. We're in the middle of a restaurant. We're in the middle of Walgreens. There's people around. So let me just slip you a card. Real inconspicuous like, and have you come to church on Sunday? Or do we say, no, no, no. God, you positioned them at this moment. Do you understand? Now, I don't want to get too far, but do you understand that in order for the shadow of Peter passing by, that means that the sun had to be just right, Peter had to be just right, and the person had to be just right. The heavens and the earth had to be connected. Everything heavenly and earthly had to be perfectly aligned in order for the shadow of Peter to fall across the broken and diseased person. Even just 3 feet off wouldn't have happened. Just 1 degree off and it wouldn't have happened. But God said, no, I love the broken so much. I love the disease so much. I'm going to align heaven with earth in order to have everything positioned perfectly and in order for a miracle to come about. Hear me when I tell you. You've got to understand what is happening. When you walk through, hear me now, let me slow down and let me teach. When you walk through Walgreens and when you walk through Target and when you go to the bank and when you're at school and all of a sudden you feel a prompting. Anybody ever felt it? You feel a prompting. All of a sudden your whole being just zeroes in on somebody. You want to know what that is? It's more than just happenstance or chance or whatever. heaven and earth have literally aligned. In order for a believer to walk by a hurting individual who has been positioned there by God. Do you understand? Do you understand that if they forgot their keys, it would have postponed them 5 minutes, 3 minutes? If they would have hit the red light, it would have stalled them for a couple of minutes. If they get behind the whatever kind of driver that, you know, actually drives speed limit, it would have slowed them down. But do you understand all of the things that had to have happened with their day and the weather and the stoplights and their car and everything, the reason they're even in the store in the first place? Do we get this? Why are they even there? To buy milk? Let me tell you a story. This was in my notes. But just a couple of days ago, what day was it? Tuesday was something like Sunday. It was Sunday, and I'm all preaching about this stuff. And so we were just going to get out of the house for a little bit Sunday night. And so she had to go to the grocery store. She was going to go to the grocery store, Strax. We're just going to go get some groceries for the week. Right before we left, Haley says, "Mom, I need some whatever girls need. Face cream or something." She wanted some face cream, okay? We didn't think anything of it, face cream. Well, my wife says, okay, she looks at her list, she said, "Well, we can get all this stuff at Target and still get the face cream because they don't sell the face cream at Strax." Nothing, right? You don't even think of it. It's just inconsequential. Consequence, is that a word? Close enough. You know what I meant? Of no merit, just no big deal. It's just Haley, she wants some face cream, so we're not going to go to Strax, we're going to go to Target. So we get into Target, me and my wife are sitting down in the parking lot, we're having a little talk, you know, and talking about church, talking about different things, and so we sat in the car. Normally we just get there, open up, go to the Target, but we sat in the car probably 10, 15 minutes, talking, whatever, then we get out, we walk in. And so we're there, and I'm trying to live a little bit healthier, and so I said, I want to get some vitamins. Okay, I never even got vitamins up until this point. Brother Steve, I just thought, I want to get some vitamins. So I go to the vitamin aisle, and my wife and I are looking. All of a sudden, this guy walks up, and he starts getting vitamins, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, boom, pshh, zeroes me right in on this guy. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? You know? It's difficult to strike up a conversation with somebody. And so I'm looking there, and so I'm like, "Hey, man, you know anything about vitamins?" He kind of looks. He's like, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Man, I'm trying to get vitamins first time, and I don't know anything about it. Would you mind helping me?" You know, he was a guy about my age, maybe. And I said, "What kind of vitamins?" And we started talking about vitamins, and vitamins led to something else, and then that led to something else. And before long, I knew where he was from, and before long, I knew that he about his wife and about his kids and about his job. I knew all about this stuff, and I said, "Man, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm a preacher, I'm a minister. I just want to know, do you have a need in your life that I could pray for?" And he begins to open up, and he begins to talk about how his family, once his mom died, his family is starting to kind of pull apart, and they're not as close as they used to be. And I said, "Man, I want to pray for that." And I said, "Hey," I'm going to give you a card. I asked my wife, she had a card. I said, "I'm going to give you a card." And he was Hispanic, and I was like, "We got a Spanish campus." And he said, "Well," he said, "My kids don't speak Spanish, so we'd rather come to the English service. And who knows, he might even be here today." But he took the card, he thanked me and thanked me. And I said, "Man," I said, would you mind giving me your number?" I said, "I'd like to stay in contact with you, stay in touch." He said, "Yeah, absolutely." So he gave me his number. So now we got a contact. I got somebody that I can follow up on and get to know a little bit. Who knows, might even get them in a Bible study. Who knows, they might even come to church and I can baptize them in Jesus' name and watch as him and his wife and all of his kids are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and see the miraculous working of the power of God at work in his life. It all happened because Haley wanted face lotion. Now, it was was absolutely God. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is God. That stuff isn't by chance. He works it. He heaven and earth come into an alignment and come into agreement. And if he cares that much about the broken, shouldn't we care enough about them to stop and to talk with them and to reach out with them and put our faith in action and do something about it? Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Give God praise. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've got to be sensitive. I'm going to skip some stuff, but we have got to be sensitive. Listen, when you walk out of your house every day, now hear me, it might not happen every day, but we need to be aware every day. Took my family to Five Guys yesterday or Saturday, whatever it was. Yesterday was Saturday. It was either yesterday or Saturday. I don't know which one it was. It was one of the two. That's right. So clarify that for you. So we're sitting at Five Guys, and we're eating, and I'm hanging with my family, and I'm having a good time. But you know what? Every once in a while, I just say a little prayer, and I just kind of look up and kind of look around. God, is there anybody in here you want to draw me to? Is there anybody in here you have positioned to be at this Five Guys the same time I'm here? And guess what? I didn't feel a thing. So there might be times and there might be situations when God just says, no, I want you to hang with your family. Have a good time with the fam. But you got to be aware. You've got to be sensitive. When you're walking down the street, when you're at the shopping mart, when you're wherever you are, do what you need to do. Get the groceries, get the shop for the new coat, whatever you're doing. But as you are there, watch. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Who is it, Lord? Have you positioned, have you caused heaven and earth to intermingle at this precise moment in time in order to position a broken, messed up person so that I could come right beside them? And you might walk out of the store and say, I didn't feel anything. But you know what? There's going to be moments, many moments, when if you are sensitive to it and you don't just get so caught up in your day, you know what I'm talking about? You get so busy, you get so caught up. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got a checklist, and I got ABC, 1, 2, 3. I got to do this, and I got to get it all done and everything. And I'm just going. I got my head down. I'm just boom, boom, barreling through my day. And how many times have we just barreled through our day, and we barreled right by people that God positioned? So go about our days. Do what we need to do. But be aware. Be aware. Somebody said amen. Quickly, and I close. Acts 5:14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets. Now watch. And laid them on beds. Somebody say beds. And couches. Somebody say couches. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So everybody on the beds were healed, and everybody on the couches were healed. Now get this. There was a reason why the scripture wanted us to know that they were laid on beds and couches. Because when it speaks of beds, it's speaking of the fine, soft, luxurious mats that the rich people had. And when it speaks of couches, it's speaking of the rough, thin, uncomfortable bedding that the poor people had. So that lets me know this. That lets me know that a demonstration of the miraculous will cause the rich and the poor to be convinced. It will cause the educated as well as the uneducated to be convinced. We need to get this and then I'll close. No matter who they are, no matter what they have or don't have, no matter what excuses they might give for not wanting this glorious truth, when the miraculous flows into their lives, it will pull down every excuse. It'll pull down every reason. It'll pull down every defense that they might have, that they might use to fight against it. We've got to get this revelation today. The miraculous is a common denominator that every person understands. Whether they be poor or whether they be rich, whether they be black or white or Hispanic, whether they be educated or uneducated, they're all going to be able to recognize the miraculous when it happens in their life. And when it does, there's going to be a door that opens in order for us to be able to proclaim this glorious apostolic message truth to them. Somebody said amen. So how are we going to reach the wealthy who have everything and think they don't need anything? You ever met them? But guess what? They get sick just like everybody else do. And they get cancer just like other people do. And they got issues just like everybody else does. So how are we going to reach the rich folk that have everything and don't feel like they need anything? I'll tell you how. The miraculous. How are we going to reach those with nothing that feel as if God doesn't care? The miraculous. How are we going to reach the individual that is entrenched in Catholicism? The miraculous. How are we going to reach the agnostic? The miraculous. How are we going to reach the atheist? The miraculous. How are we going to reach the individual that was hurt by church folk and never want anything to do with God or church again? How are we going to reach them? The miraculous. How are we going to reach out to those who say that religion is fine for others, but I don't think it's necessary for me? How are we going to reach somebody like that? We're going to reach them with the miraculous. God is trying to give us revelation of the fact that the miraculous is going to open up the doors of revival like never before. And when that door is open, he must find a people who are willing to put their faith in action. Stand to our feet if you would.